Hello, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. I want to give a big thank you to the USG team who've agreed to be interviewed. Joining us from USG today, we have Jeff White, who's Vice President of Marketing, and Sam Immordino, who's the Director of Futuring and Digital Innovation. USG's digitalization efforts are the subject of our most recent case study, which I'm sure many of you have read. I'm Lee Green, and I run IRI's Strategic Initiatives. This interview is an element of IRI's Digital Transformation Community. The DXC is a community of organizations that are on the journey toward digital transformation. Through the DXC, you can access case studies with fresh, relevant content. The case studies of USG and our previous one on Michelin are available on our website now, and our next one will be out later this summer. You can also access a conference dedicated to digital transformation. That's the Digital Futures Conference, and that will hopefully be taking place live October 12th through the 14th in Cleveland, Ohio. If not, we will have a virtual option. We also have facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. We have our first one on the COVID-19 crisis and the impacts on digital transformation taking place tomorrow morning. If you want more information on that, pop me an email. We also do updates with insights and additional resources and workshops to take deep dives on shared pain points. And finally, we have webinar interviews with thought leaders like we're doing today. These always take place on the third Thursday of the month at 12 p.m. Eastern. And I'll have information about who we are talking to next month shortly. I'll be sure to sign all of you up to receive updates on the DXC. If you do not wish to receive updates, just let me know and I'll make sure you're not added to that list. I have a few housekeeping items to get through before we can begin our conversation with the USG team. First, this session is being recorded and you will get a link to the recording. We will be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there will be no visuals here today. Second, please hold all questions until the end. Once we open the floor to questions, you can either raise your hand using that function on the dashboard, at which point I will unmute you so you can ask your question, or you can type your question in and I will read it out for you. So let's go ahead and get started. So for those of you who have read the case study, you'll know that there are three different parts of the organization involved at USG: IT, R&D, and marketing. We have representatives from R&D and marketing here. First, I'm going to ask Jeff White, VP of Marketing, how did you get involved with USG's digitalization efforts?
Hi, Lee. Thank you. So it actually is an interesting story at USG, maybe a little bit different from a lot of companies' experience that, you know, you hear a lot these days about companies who almost sort of wake up abruptly to this idea of digital transformation and, you know, we've got to have an initiative and we've got to put together a team, and they make it this big formal process. And I can tell you that that's not at all how it happened at USG. It was a lot more organic and a lot more grassroots than that. There were several organizations within our company, marketing being one of them, that sort of for years had been working on projects or initiatives that you would call digitization or digitalization. And so we'd been doing things anyway. You know, marketing had sort of transformed a lot of things on how we, you know, reach digital media to find our customers. Of course, the website is a key asset in our, you know, digital journey. A lot of digital tools for connecting with customers. So we had been doing things within the marketing organization for quite some time, a number of years. Similarly, you know, through conversations with the head of our R&D organization and the head of our IT organization, we realized that all three of our teams had been doing digital initiatives for years, and we just never sort of collected them or coordinated them or brought them together under one sort of umbrella. And that's really exactly how it happened. The head of IT sort of looked around and found all these things going on and brought myself and the head of the R&D together and said, you know, let's share, you know, stories about what we're working on. Let's make sure that, you know, we understand what the other guys are doing so that we don't bump into each other. And we just basically started that way. So it wasn't this big bang digital transformation initiative that came from the top down. It was really a lot more grassroots where, you know, the individual organizations were already doing things. And one day we just sort of said, hey, we should probably share stories and collect them all in one place so that we see what everybody's doing.
All right, so why was it essential that marketing was involved with this?
Well, like I said, you know, marketing was involved from the beginning, and you know, we were one of the groups. There's different types of groups within our companies within USG that, you know, that are doing what I call their digital solvers. We're the organizations within USG that are actually creating the digital solutions to some problems, whether it be a customer problem and an internal problem. There really aren't that many of the USG organizations that actually solve the problems that create the digital technology or the digital initiatives. IT is one of them, R&D is one of them, marketing is one of them. So it was absolutely important that marketing was at the table early because we were already doing things. You know, when you think about it, you know, I think about it in terms of which are the solver organizations and which ones are the customers. I think marketing is a solver organization, like I said, because we actually execute digital initiatives, but we do it usually on behalf of somebody else, a customer, if you will, and that can be an internal or external customer. So a lot of times what will happen is my business units and my sales organizations will come to me with a problem and say, you know, our customers are really struggling to do this, or we're really struggling to figure out how to solve that problem. And it's marketing that puts together the digital project. And, you know, so we do it on their behalf, but they don't execute the project themselves. So when you really sort of tear it apart that way, there are very few organizations within USG that are actually executing digital projects, and marketing is one of them. So we were at the table early because we had as many projects as anybody going on, and you know, we really needed to make sure that we shared our portfolio with the rest of the company.
All right. That makes sense. So next I'm going to check in with Sam on this, and Sam's the Director of Futuring and Digital Innovation. So Sam, how did you get involved with USG's digitalization efforts?
Hi Lee, thanks. So very much what Jeff has already outlined, for a number of years in our R&D center, there were digital efforts going on. They weren't called digital at the time. So in that, you know, sort of collateral duty to my R&D scientific role, I also helped work on a project to implement an electronic laboratory notebook as opposed to sort of conventional paper lab notebooks. And so that was a really interesting project. It helped, you know, advance R&D in terms of, you know, taking notebook knowledge and making it more accessible to the scientists. It also presented a number of new challenges. And there were other activities as well over the years. For example, we needed a way to create a new invention record submission process, which, you know, today would have clearly been a digital project. And as you start to do these things in an R&D center, you always have to be proactive about protecting the sort of inventive knowledge that you're creating, especially in terms of IP. So even though we put in these new digital solutions, we also had to create new processes, for example, digital rights management to control the flow of that new knowledge, or data classification systems. So all of these things were going on and had been going on for a number of years. They just weren't necessarily associated with what we would call digital today. And then in 2018, as Jeff had mentioned, Jeff and Dr. Srinivas Viramasinini, who was our VP of research at the time, who's now USG CTO, asked if I would be interested in helping USG sort of develop and implement a digital strategy. And at first, I was quite frankly a little nervous and hesitant. You think about a construction building products company that's 100 plus years old. You know, how does digital apply to them? And how do you leverage the digital technology? But the more personally I got to think about it, that, you know, answering that question in and of itself is a great and interesting challenge. So that's ultimately why I decided to take on the role that I'm in now.
And why do you think it was essential that R&D was brought into this?
You know, the three groups that come together, as Jeff had mentioned, they had all been doing digital, but they were actually all very complementary. So if you think about, you know, IT's role, they live in the digital world. They're very operational, and they're key for, you know, being able to scale digital efforts, but also ensuring that the infrastructure exists to do it. Marketing essentially represents and is the face of the customer. And so when you're trying to develop digital products, you need that in order to get the right customer experience. And then research is important to this team because we sort of have been doing product development innovation since the company was created. And we have a lot of processes that have been honed and optimized over the years for new product development that have been focused on the physical product development. It turns out that many of those processes are also applicable to digital innovation and digital product development. So it worked out really well that we could help bring some of our processes and methods to sort of this new digital group.
All right, that makes sense. So switching back to Jeff, you know, we've heard from some of our members that getting buy-in from the C-suite is a real impediment to digitalization efforts. So how did that play out at USG?
Well, you know, it's a good question because I think it depends upon how an individual company takes on their digital transformation journey. Like I said, at ours, this was a bit more grassroots, so we never really bumped into the C-suite early. In the early days, each of the individual organizations that were working on digital projects kind of had their own budgets and their own resources with which to do that. And so it wasn't this big bang project, like I said, which often does happen, where companies find that, you know, I don't know, through scare tactics or something else, they've woken up to the digital economy and they've decided that their company is at risk of being left behind, and they put together big projects and they fund it aggressively and create unrealistic expectations and all kinds of other things. You know, that just never really happened at USG. So we've had a couple of blessings here. One is that, you know, we started the journey, you know, reasonably unknowingly and quietly within the organizations of the company, kind of buried down doing very practical digital initiatives, making the company better, sort of in small, you know, not very structured type of projects. And then second of all, once it gathered some momentum and steam and our team came together, where we started coordinating and providing some visibility to the C-suite, it was met with a lot of, you know, a lot of real support from them. So, you know, they were able to, you know, give budgets where budgets were needed, and clear some roadblocks when we needed it. But for the most part, each of the three organizations, even today, each of the three organizations sort of, you know, from a grassroots way, originate projects and fund them within their own organization. So we don't rely on this real heavy top-down sort of approach to digital transformation. We really didn't need that. We really didn't want that. And that becomes that big bureaucratic project that can be a problem to deal with. And I think that from my perspective, where it works better is when, you know, the digital projects are coming from sort of from the periphery, from down within the company, where the rubber really meets the road, where, you know, for example, where marketing or sales is engaging with a customer and there's a digital technology that can make that better, or where, you know, there's an opportunity to enhance a product or something in our manufacturing operation. You know, the people farther away from the C-suite, if you will, probably understand those opportunities better. And we've been able, through our own independent organizations and our own budgets, to be able to bring those projects up. So the C-suite for us has been terrific, not an impediment, because as these things have sort of gained momentum and created a little bit higher level visibility, we've had a great deal of support for what we're doing, not just us individually, but, you know, there's a general acknowledgement. It's not very difficult to sell executives on the importance of digital transformation, right? Everybody's talking about it. It's not hard to sell them on the concept. What's really difficult is to execute it in a good, appropriate, efficient way. The good news is we already had a lot of track record executing. So once it got up to the C-suite, you know, we were met with a lot of real support.
All right, that's great to hear. So now I'm going to take advantage of having people from two different parts of the organization here and ask each of you, what has it been like working across different parts of the organization on this effort? So let's start with Sam. How's that felt for you?
Hi, Lee. Could you repeat the question a little bit? You went out, so I missed the actual question.
Oh, sorry about that. So what's it been like working across different parts of the organization on this?
This is, you know, within USG itself, we've always been a very sort of working relationship oriented company, very team oriented. You can pretty much talk to anybody within the organization without any sort of restraint. So putting this group together in digital between IT, marketing, and CIC really already was very complementary to the culture. The only area that, with regard to, you know, this particular sort of project and group around digital, is learning more about IT and what they have to do sort of on the back end in terms of implementing different systems, both hardware and software, in order to make sure that everything runs. So from that perspective, an opportunity to get a better understanding of what's involved on the IT end in order to implement some of the digital initiatives that CIC comes up with or that marketing is driving was really interesting to get that perspective. And we learned quite a bit from that group. So that opportunity, I think, to kind of share how R&D approaches innovation and product development, not only physically, but digitally, but then also learning about what goes on in the IT world, I think has been a great benefit.
So Jeff, is there anything you'd like to add? What was it like from your perspective?
So it's an interesting question because you say, what was it like working with these other organizations or these other groups across the organization? Lee, I got to be honest, I struggle more to figure out what it would be like not to work with them.
it's true.
You know, Sam's right. I mean, you know, we are a very collaborative company. It is not unusual to have cross-functional teams. It is this is the norm, not the exception. Individually, I have had a 15-year relationship with both the head of IT and the head of the R&D organization. I mean, the working relationship was very long. I'd been in various roles over the years, so had they. Worked with them in a lot of different ways. So from a leadership standpoint, you know, we walked into this with really no baggage between us. It was a very collaborative exchange. So the going in was, you know, we just had to figure out how to share, how to work together, but that wasn't hard. I mean, like I said, there was a lot of digital initiatives already going on within the company before we sort of formalized this as a quote unquote digital team. And it's impossible to do any of the initiatives alone. So even when marketing had some projects, and like I said, we've been working on digital projects for years. Any of those projects required some support or some resources or some input from one, if not both, of the other organizations. I can't imagine, I mean, even if I sat here and thought about it, I can't imagine a single project that marketing executed that we weren't working with somebody from the IT organization or that we weren't working with somebody from the R&D organization. You know, we are laterally very connected on these projects, you know. So whether it's using, you know, somebody from the R&D organization to help with some technical files or some of the resources that they have, or, you know, with IT doing things from a programming or whatever standpoint. I mean, we have always worked with these organizations. It would literally be impossible to execute a digital project, I think, without one or both of those organizations being part of the team. What fundamentally became different here is making sure between the three of us that we understood who the sort of the lead organization was, whose project it was, and then who was supporting it. Because we are both, right? I am the lead organization on several projects that I require IT support or R&D support. And then there are other projects where IT might be, you know, the lead organization. It's their project funded by their organization, but they need marketing support, so we will support them. So we're both leaders and supporters depending on the project. And we had to make sure that we understood, you know, within our this triumvirate that we have here, who was the lead and who was the support so that we could progress forward. But there's almost no projects that we have that we're not using at least two of the three organizations on the project. So this is the norm for us. Like I said, I would be a lot more hard pressed to try to think of a working environment where I didn't work with those guys, because I don't know how we'd get things done. I'd say probably the only complication that you would want to throw on that is the budgeting question, because you know, how you budget or how you fund the projects gets a little bit messier than it's just the way that we do budgeting and how we allocate capital and things like that. So, but outside of the actual financial budgeting, it's been really smooth and simple and kind of the norm within us. And by the way, the benefits have been more than, you know, the pitfalls, because by coming together, we were able to make sure that we had the resources. So if IT was starting a project that they needed marketing support on, they couldn't go into that project knowing whether or not the marketing resources were even available. And so this allowed us to make sure that we had better visibility into what the other groups were doing so that we could make our people available to them.
All right, that makes sense. So switching back over to Sam, we've heard organizational and cultural change go hand in hand with the digitalization journey. So what elements have you seen at USG where that's gone well, and what hasn't gone quite so well, do you think?
That is an excellent question, Lee. So we are we're still very early in terms of the digital journey. And we have intentionally applied sort of lean thinking and small experiment tests in order to look at digital. So, I mean, there's different ways you could approach digital. There's some companies that say, you know, we're going to create this digital organization, and we're going to put a large sum of money there, and we are going to implement. USG took an approach that's very consistent with their culture, just starting small and running these experiments, and getting and learning quickly, and then I think, you know, being able to pivot quickly. So I think that has been working well. The area of sort of trying to transform, I think, the company digitally and how to think about digital is something that we're just starting now. It's possible we could have started that a little bit earlier, so that I think not just the core team who fundamentally understands and is championing digital, but that the rest of the company understands what USG is doing in terms of digital, so that they can more easily relate to it. And so that's a program that we've started. It's actually in our HR group. So we probably could have started that earlier. We found ourselves talking to people and not even associating a digital project or a project to actually being digital. So I think that's an area that we've learned from. Another area is just digital product development and digital innovation occurs on a faster time scale than physical product development or physical innovation. Especially in our space in the construction industry, where physical products can take a number of years to implement and be accepted in the marketplace because of just learned practices by our customers or codes and specifications that need to be met. digital doesn't necessarily play by those rules. So there was, I think, some learning there on how to recognize quickly and pivot quickly and go in different directions with some of our projects. I think those are some of the things that, I think, work well for us. But there clearly are some areas that we learned from and that we needed to adapt to. So I hope that answers your question, Lee.
Lee, yeah, I'd like to jump in.
Yeah,
I think Sam's absolutely right. I mean, from my perspective, USG is kind of an old school manufacturing company, and our muscle memory as an organization is about manufacturing things and about selling things. And it's about personal relationships, and it's very practical and tangible. And one of the cultural barriers to this digital transformation has really, and I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's sort of the individual's understanding about what these things are. Digital is a bit amorphous. And when you talk about, why you want to do something digitally or you want to implement a technology, it's often very difficult for the majority of people at USG to understand how that makes us better. Because in our muscle memory, we produce great products and we have a sales team that goes out and talks to customers and sells them. And they really don't understand how digital technology helps us to engage with customers and how it helps them to get information prior to the sale, because we still have this 120-year muscle memory of, this is a belly-to-belly transaction, right? This is how negotiation happens. This is how, the world works. And it's just often very difficult for them to fully understand what that digital technology actually does, how it enhances the business results and the experience of our customers. So we spend a lot of time, at least on the projects that I spearhead, we spend a lot of time really, just sort of outlining and clarifying what the benefit of the project is, why it works for us, how it intersects the customer at a different place so that our salesperson doesn't have to do certain things or whatever. It's really about translating it into how this works for us, how it benefits us. You have to spell that out, because the instinct isn't there. I mean, we're not an IT firm. We're not a really technically advanced industry. So you can't just say, hey, I want to create a new customer digital tool so that they can do layouts. And, everybody is just going to go, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. People will look at you and go, you're going to do what now? And I don't understand how that's going to work. And so there's just the innate response is always a lot of confusion and lack of understanding as to what these things do. So as a digital solver, as a sponsor of projects here within this company, we do spend a lot of time sort of tearing them apart and mechanically making sure that our company understands and they can see the value and how that value is derived, because you can never do that too much. You can't just throw out a project name or a one bullet or three bullet, statement on a slide and expect everybody really understands what the heck you're talking about. So the cultural shift has been really a lot of hand-holding, or the cultural barrier has been a lot of hand-holding and making sure that people even, the basics, that they understand what this thing does and how it creates value for us.
Actually, sticking with you, Jeff, so marketing is the closest to the customer of the three divisions that were involved in this at USG, or are involved in this at USG. So in what ways did you bring the customer focus into this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, I'm absolutely, marketing is the closest organization to the customers. And like I said, we sort of have decentralized the way these projects come in through the three different organizations. And marketing's sort of stimulus customer group tends to be more the sales, the external customers. So the problems that we're solving are usually the ones that relate to very market-facing or customer-oriented things. I think that's just the nature of our organization. And like I said, we're always working together with the other organizations. So when the CIC has a project or when IT has a project, marketing is usually brought into those projects. So it's sort of our role, whether it's a project that we're sponsoring or that we initiated. Obviously, that's customer facing because that's who we are as an organization. But even if it's not a project that we initiated, if it's one that was initiated out of the R&D organization or IT, we're usually, as I mentioned before, we're usually on the project. We're a supporter of that project. And more often than not, our support comes you know, from that customer facing side, and how will customers see this, and is the value where we need it to be, and things like that. So whether it be, you know, if you making sure that we're aligning our digital initiatives with what the customers want, we either do that directly by sponsoring projects that are very directly related to the customer experience, or by being a resource on a project that one of the other groups is starting, right? We have to bring that customer perspective to the table. If we don't, you know, I would say that, you know, historically in my 15 years at USG, when we have things that don't work out the way that we expected them to, it's usually because we didn't bring the customer's point of view in soon enough or significantly enough. You know, sometimes, you know, we as a company, and I suppose it's probably the same for every company, but sometimes we sort of get proud of ourselves and we think we know the answer before we've ever talked to the people who, you know, the customers who are going to use it. And, you know, I think that in my experience where we've had project failures, they've typically been because they didn't include the customer early enough or significantly enough. So the marketing organization is one of the three on this team. We are glad to play that role. At least broker the relationship or be the liaison to the customer, the customer's point of view. I mean, it's just, you know, we fall in love with solutions a lot, and we forget about whether or not the customer needs them. So it's our job to make sure that point of view is brought to the table.
I think that's a good point for everything. So as we're getting toward the second half of our conversation, I'd like to hear from each of you what your lessons learned so far are. You know, Jeff, let's stick with you, and we'll let Sam close out that section of the question.
Fair enough. Look, there's a couple of things that come to mind. There's so many. You know, it would be, you know, we could spend the entire call just talking about the lessons learned, because there are so many of them. As Sam mentioned, you know, we're still fairly early. Believe it or not, we're still fairly early in our journey. This is still a work in progress. You know, we started as a very, like I said, decentralized sort of grassroots, things were happening and we weren't even really calling them digital. And then we made the step of bringing a group together to sort of coordinate and create visibility across the projects. And even today, we're taking that to an even greater degree of formality as our executive committee wants more visibility down into the individual projects and budgets. You know, who knows what the future holds, but this is an evolution. And I would say we're still fairly early in that. But even at that, there's a lot of lessons learned. I would say that two lessons really come to mind, I think the strongest for me. The first one is, if you can help it, our experience says, don't make digital transformation a project. It just can't be a project that comes from your CEO or your executive committee and pushed down into the company, where somebody gets an idea that, oh my God, we've got to transform digitally, you know, it's such a buzz and let's go do this. And we put a team together and, as Sam said, infuse it with a big budget and go and create unrealistic expectations. If digital transformation is a project, that's, you know, that's a problem. So to the extent that you can avoid that. Digital transformation, to me, to our experience, is not a project. It's something that was happening anyway. It was something that was happening at the grassroots in a decentralized way at the points of the company where the digital technology made the most sense. And again, that could be in a plant because there was a, you know, an automated vehicle that would do a job, or robotic implementation that would do a job with greater quality or efficiency, or whether that be in the media and how we connect and talk to and communicate with our customers. It doesn't matter. The people that are responsible at the periphery of this company for those interactions and those outputs are the ones that are best likely to have great ideas that create real tangible and practical results. If digital transformation is a big, you know, executive top-down led project, I don't know that I've got any examples of where that's actually worked out very well. So to the extent that you can keep it out of that type of nomenclature, do it. The second thing I would say, and it's probably correlated to that, is solve real problems. I mean, connect with your customers. I mean, I have seen way too often where, like I said in the last question, you fall in love with the solution, you don't fall in love with the problem. If you're starting with the technology because somebody heard about it out there in the world, or a competitor did something, or we're just connected that because that's the networks we're in. If you start with the technology and then you bring it to your company, you're looking for a home, where can this work? Where can this be deployed? Then in the way I talk about things is, now you're reading right to left. you're starting with the solution and you're looking for a problem for it to solve. My experience is that doesn't work very well. Start with the problems. I guarantee your company, my company, every company has a lot of problems. There are a lot of things that we struggle with, a lot of things that we stumble over, a lot of inefficiencies in the way we do things that digital technologies exist to be able to solve. The more practical you can be, starting with the problem, go find the technology that solves that best and deploy it and get the benefits for it. The more left to right reading you are, the more likely you are to be successful, I believe. Like I said, I've seen way too many times where people, you know, start with the technology and try to back into where can we make this work? Where can we, you know, this is really cool. This is really new technology. So many people are doing it. It's all the buzz. Let's find a way to put it in our company. I don't know that I've got a lot of examples where that has worked either. So, you know, I would say fall in love with problems. Don't fall in love with solutions. Let the solution come from the process of solving a real problem that your company has. And when you do that, not only do you get great results, but you also get terrific advocates within the company. Because if I'm solving a real problem that sales has, and I actually solved that problem, now all of a sudden I've got great advocates within the sales organization for what we're doing. If I do it the other way, where I start with the technology that other companies are doing and I try to shove it into my sales organization, now they're feeling like I'm making them do something that they maybe didn't want to do. And so I actually create more of an adversary than I do an advocate. So I guess the simplest way to say it is fall in love with the problems, not the solutions, and read left to right, not right to left.
Yeah, I think we've heard that in a lot of different ways from a lot of the different people we've spoken to. You know, it starts with the problem. It starts with solving the situation that you have, and then the technology and the solution comes later. And I like that way of putting it. So, Sam, do you have anything to add? What are your lessons that you've learned?
Absolutely. So I'd like to build off of what Jeff said, and I've been at USG for 28 years, and I've known Jeff that entire time. And being in R&D, I always, when I first started, I always led with the technology, always excited, and didn't really articulate well what we're solving, what problem we're solving for, and how it provides value to the customer. And I can say that Jeff has instilled that in me, and it is applicable to physical products and almost even more so for digital projects. And so to build on what Jeff said is you can know that you're solving for a specific problem and have a sort of a great value prop for the customer. But when it comes to digital, you need to be able to communicate that simply and relatable to internally to the company. And you know, you asked an earlier question about the three working together. Marketing has helped quite a bit with this. When you're dealing with a 100-year-plus physical product company and you're trying to articulate the value proposition of the digital product, you really need to think through that ahead of time and spell it out simply so that people can relate to it. So I would say that would be the first lesson learned. Second, that, as I mentioned before, digital innovation or digital product development moves at a faster time scale. When you're dealing with physical products, you can sort of recognize whether or not you solve the problem, and you can kill projects. You can put them on the shelf and do things like that. It seems with digital products, it's a little different. There needs to be an ability to adapt quickly, working early with the customer, not necessarily to kill a digital product, but to know how to pivot that product. And without going into great detail, I can give an example. You know, we deal with a lot of architects and designers in our industry. And we wanted to build tools that help them make designs more easily or provide digital tools so that they can come up with creative ideas quickly by leveraging our products. We tested that where we had the customers sort of come to USG's ecosystem or website. But it turns out that, yes, the customers like being able to do that, but they also like when you go to where they do their work and the platforms that they use in order to design. And so being able to recognize that early on and be able to pivot that digital innovation so that USG is becoming part of the tool set that they use day in, day out, would be an example of something that's different in the digital world. And then lastly, digital requires new processes, and it takes longer than expected. You sort of have this intuition after you've been in an R&D for a long period of time about how long something will take. I find that my estimates in terms of digital have been off because of a lack of understanding on why new processes are required. And I can give you an example. If you have a bunch of technical data that's in paper format and it's trapped in file cabinets, and you want to move it to digital, you have to convert all of those documents. But when you do that, you create new things that need to be solved for. For example, which digital document is the actual official record copy of a piece of literature or a product formula? And how do you ensure that? And how do you maintain that? And how do you protect that? And so it turns out there's a bunch of new things that need to be done as you go through this sort of digital transformation that doesn't necessarily exist in the physical world. So those are three areas with some examples.
All right, and now we're going to open the floor to questions, and we're going to jump straight into this because we've already had some that have come in. The first is from Steve Moskowitz, who's with Integris, and he asks, as you solve problems, do you define solutions as digital to feed the digital transformation, or is it generally obvious that things are digital? One of the challenges I see is that you said you've been doing this for a while and are only recently now reclassifying things as digital, or that's how I heard it.
So I'll take that. Sam can build on if you'd like. I think it's a great point because when I say fall in love with the problem, not with the solution, he's exactly right that the solution isn't always digital. So we're not out here specifically to find digital solutions. We're out here to make our company better, to make our company more successful. In a modern age, as often as not, the digital solution is the best solution, mainly because, what I found is I always think about digital as two sides of the same coin, because digital does two things for you. One, it solves the customer's problem. Two, it gives you data that you didn't have before. The nice thing about digital is it gives a connection to the customer. It gives you market insights, or it gives you customer behavior data. It always gives you some data that you get to solve the customer problem, create a happy customer, but you also get some market feedback, some data feedback on the back end. So they tend to be great solutions. But he's absolutely right. I mean, there have been times where, we've been going through the process of, again, we fall in love with the problems. And as we've been searching for answers to the problems, it's not always a digital answer. That's okay. Like I said, we don't have a quote unquote digital charter. One of the good things about decentralizing the digital initiative within USG is that we keep, digital in the various organizations that are solving customers' problems. So we are not pushed to the digital answer. We just often end up there for sure, but that's not the objective going in. Our starting point is solve the problem, make the company better. And if the digital answer is better than the other, the others on your list, then that's great.
And just building on what Jeff said, it the approach, and I mentioned before, we're doing sort of digital transformation training and what digital means to USG. And it became, quite evident as we're starting to put this together that, knowing the customer and understanding latent needs is independent of whether it's a physical solution or a digital solution. And yeah, I think we came across that a number of times as we were putting together sort of, what does digital mean to me? And you know, what does this transformation look like? And Jeff is right on the money. A lot of times a physical solution it could actually be preferred to a digital solution. So the approach that we take is, you know, what are the current use cases? Is there sort of a physical passive solution that exists today? And that if there are any opportunities outside of that where a physical solution can't solve it, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, is there a digital technology or a digital solution that can help, you know, address that need? And so that's sort of, you know, how we've been approaching it from an R&D perspective.
All right. So Steve actually had another question. And again, Steve's from Integris. You spoke a lot about digital products, but haven't talked about how you are using digital solutions to improve your own operations. What is USG doing for improving manufacturing, supply chain, quality, new product design, employee and environmental safety, et cetera? What is the balance in your digital transformation of these internal solutions versus external customer solutions?
So that's another really good question, Steve. Listen, we have basically three buckets that we categorize all digital initiatives. So once they become a digital initiative, they're in the portfolio, and as a steering committee, we're collecting them all, and we have sort of a sorting mechanism, and there's three different types of digital projects that we have. One are OpEx projects, so that's exactly what he's talking about there. So they're the things that we're doing to improve our operation and drive greater profitability. The second types of projects are what we call customer engagement, so they're the things that we do to connect better with customers. And the third types are what we call digitally enabled products or smart products. So almost every project that we have, no matter where it is in the company, is going to be in one of those three buckets. I will say that, you know, as of today, we don't have sort of a budgeting strategy that says do two-thirds in this bucket, one-third in that bucket. But I can tell you from a macro sense that over time, we have definitely shifted in the more recent years, the last two or three years, to the customer facing and the smart products and away from the OpEx projects. We had probably gotten, you know, early in our digital sort of journey, we were doing a lot of things that were very internally focused. And, you know, a lot of things within our plant organization using, you know, automation and robotics and things like that. We're very heavy into that on the manufacturing side and probably out of balance where we were doing too much on the OpEx side. So in the last couple of years, we've made a concerted effort to finance and fund projects that were more on the customer facing side and more on the smart product side. But if that helps, I mean, we do have the three different buckets with which we organize all of our projects, and we do have a balance across the three different buckets.
And just to add on what Jeff said, in terms of that sort of digital operation budget or bucket, there's been activities going on in that bucket for a number of years that would be considered today digital. So these would be things like advanced manufacturing, introduction of robotics into our systems. We are doing advanced analytics. We're looking at ways to deploy machine learning in our operations for the detection of defects and improved quality. We're looking at robotics out in the field to help our customers use our products more efficiently and safely. We're studying additive manufacturing. So there are a number of operational activities that have been going on for a while. That would be classified under this OX digital bucket.
And Steve has chimed in and said thank you, and understanding that journey really helps over time. Sorry, that journey over time really helps. We have another question from Alan Blatter, who is with Edgewell. He says, how do you determine who leads individual projects, R&D versus marketing versus IT?
So there's a little bit of a, you know, again, since we sort of decentralized, it's kind of a natural outcropping of the way the company works. So marketing tends to work daily with our sales organizations, our BUs, and our external customers. So when problems sort of present themselves in that realm, it's typically marketing that is first to see them, first to talk to the, you know, affected internal constituency and whatnot. So we're typically the first ones to write up, if you will, the project initiation brief. Similarly, you know, if it was things that are happening in our plant, it's going to likely come up through the technology team and things like that. So there's almost sort of a natural, because of long-term relationships, and internally, again, we decentralize this. So naturally, where they come into the team is generally from one of those three groups as sort of the originator or the sponsor. We do have a process with the leadership, the steering committee, that if we don't feel like it's placed right, or if there's a new idea that comes in sort of to the steering committee and we're not sure, then we will triage it ourselves and assign it to one or the other, generally under what makes the most sense. But the nice thing about these three groups is, you know, we all deal with the company and its customers in different ways, and so there's almost always a logic to where that would go.
It's just Jeff's absolutely right on that. So if it involves the customer experience or the customer interface, that is typically going to be driven by digital marketing. And then in that scenario, for example, R&D is usually playing the role of helping create the content, audit the content. So an example would be, you know, the creation of BIM files or Revit files for architectural modeling. There's a lot of science and testing that needs to go into those files to make sure that they work correctly. So the R&D group has that technical expertise. We will support Jeff's team to make sure that content is correct. On a different occasion, Jeff's team might come back and say, we really need to solve for this, or there's a need here. And there's not sort of an existing solution out there. And this is where innovation would take more of a lead. You know, we would go out, we would source different partners, whether it be universities or expert in a specific digital area, to help create a solution or a digital technology to answer sort of that gap that we need to solve for. And then on the sort of manufacturing side, if it has to do with, you know, sort of digital infrastructure, hardware, scalable software solutions, those would typically go to the IT group. And whether it's digital or physical, the same sort of buckets exist. And Jeff's point about just the relationships and our culture and how we work together, there's really not a difficult time trying to decide who should be leading what effort.
Yeah, I can appreciate that other companies, you know, Alan, that may be a challenge. At ours, giving longstanding relationships and given the fact that these three organizations have come together, we've created a steering committee, we discuss projects every month, and there's really never been a problem internally about which is the right organization to sort of sponsor that. And of course, like I said, more often than not, one or both of the other ones will support.
All right, we've only got 4 minutes and we've got two questions left. So we're gonna move to the lightning round now. So the first one is from Lester Sporing, and he's with P&G. And he asks, are you getting a sense for how digitization has impacted innovation cycles, i.e. things that used to take 2 years now take X amount of time?
Yes, absolutely. It is sort of a paradigm shift in thinking with regard to digital solutions. As I mentioned before, you know, it can take sometimes 3 to 5 years to introduce a new physical building product. Digital products, your fast test cycles and launch is typically less than a year. So you need to be more nimble and adapt quickly. And we're easing into this. We're like we mentioned earlier, we're just starting down this journey. So we're starting small and running small experiments and learning during this phase.
All right, and we're going to squeeze in one last one. So it's from JF Barthelemy, who's with NASA. He asks, So you've seen that digital transformation was happening anyway in your organization. Did you find instances where this created incompatible digital solutions, essentially adding silos to your infrastructure? And what did you do about those?
Could you repeat that?
So we've heard from you that digital transformation was already happening in the organization anyway. And he asked, did you find instances where this created incompatible digital solutions, essentially adding silos to your infrastructure? And what did you do about those?
You know, there have been only a couple lesser and very few. We generally, because most of the projects, at least in early days, came, there were very smaller practical projects that were kind of very close to customers or very close to users. Like I said, sort of grassroots organically coming up through the organization, we're solving very practical problems. And then those tended not to conflict, but we have done some things in recent years where we've done some very significant investments in CRM systems, the front end of order and how our customers make orders and track shipments with us. So the whole customer interface, the transactional customer interface has been redone. And that does tend to get very close to some of the things that in digital marketing that we have from our website and tools that we have, and how customers get data on our website is now different than how it does in our CRM system. So it has happened where we've gotten pretty close to one another. And again, thanks to the coordination between groups, we certainly understand where one side needs to defer and allow the other one to run a little bit faster and take the lead on it. We've never had anything that's actually manifest itself into, that I can think of, into a big conflict where it's become a problem that after the fact we've had to deal with. We've generally seen most of them coming when these initiatives seem to be running very parallel to each other, or, you know, could potentially conflict. So, but there've been a couple of things. There've been a couple of things, like I said, with the way our customers interact directly with us through our CRM system, and how that gets close to our website and, you know, customer tools and data on the website. So yes, it does get close, but we've not had anything that's become a real silo. One of the best things we did was we put a PIM in a couple of years ago, a product information management system. So we do have a single source of truth that is driving all of those digital resources. So thankfully we did that, because that could have been one of the places where you could have two different data sets or two different sources of truth that got put into place for two different initiatives, and then, you know, start to have conflicting and inconsistencies. But we were able to get ahead of that, and we made sure that we didn't do that. So far, knock on wood, so good. We haven't had any major crossing of wires.
All right, fantastic. And that brings us to 1 o'clock. And so I want to do a big thank you to our attendees for listening and for their questions. And a huge thank you to Jeff and Sam for agreeing to be interviewed today. And I want to remind all of you to join us on May 21st for our next interview. And I'll have details about that out for you shortly. So thanks, everyone, and stay safe and stay sane.